listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Being joined right now by Zach Kiefer from The Athletic, who's done an unbelievable job.
Unbelievable? Right now, this podcast, The Athletic Football Show with the Andrew Luck six-part series that we're going to talk about, it's ahead of Pardon My Take, the Bill Simmons podcast. It's the number one podcast, or it has been the number one podcast in all of sports. That is a huge accomplishment when you think of the Barstool Sports Pardon My Take platform, how huge it is. What Zach has done, though, has been it's been a great job of storytelling and an ability to take you from start to finish on the Andrew Luck saga, which is one of the stranger ones. Do you recall, John?
Barry Sanders
is as close as I think he gets, but Andrew Luck still had a lot more to go in his career.
So did Barry, but yeah, right. And Zach Kiefer is joining us right now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Zach, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Now, a couple of things. First of all, Andrew Luck's our guy, right? Went to Stratford High School right here. We knew him growing up in this city, so that's our guy. He shocked us as much as he shocked you guys. It was much more shocking to Indianapolis because they lost their franchise quarterback and it set the franchise back as long as it did. But, okay, to not give away everything, but what shocked you? What shocked you the most while you were doing this, while you were researching this story?
Yeah, great question. I thought I knew the Andrew Luck story. Like, I really did. Like, I covered it as closely as anybody. And, I've written so many stories about the shoulder and his comeback and even the retirement. But I didn't, man. I was wrong. I didn't know about Stanford as much as I thought I did. Like, him at Stanford is such a unique – it's such a unique story, the way he came in. Like, they were recruiting over him. Like, they were trying to sign RG3 after they'd signed Luck. But, like, how does that play out? Like Luck wasn't this huge high school recruit, although his tape at high school was pretty insane. But like, what happens if RG3 and Luck are in the same college quarterback room? Like, who transfers and like, where do they go? And how does that shake up the Heisman race in the NFL draft? And David Shaw is one of our best interviews because he really peels back the curtain on this kid before the pain starts, right? Like back when football was just fun for Andrew Luck, and there's some stories I never heard. And then you get into Indy and how much fun it was early, and then Andrew dealing with some private frustrations that he never voiced publicly, ever. He would never criticize a teammate or anyone within the organization. But privately, yeah, of course he was a little ticked off that he didn't have a running back go for 100 yards in 5 years. Like, think about that. 60 games, they didn't have a guy go over 100 yards in the offensive line, and he's running for his life. And, you know, as this piles up, the kidney and the shoulder and the ribs and the concussions and the ankle, like, of course he was frustrated. So I thought I really knew this story, and when I dug into this, starting back in January, started interviewing all the people I talked to, there were layers to this story that I had no idea about.
Let's talk about Andrew Luck at Stanford. I'll read this. This is something that The Athletic put out there. Daniel Jeremiah was with you on the podcast, and DJ was a guy who scouted Andrew Luck when he was in college. And this was his quote from his scouting report. He eats and drinks football all day, every day. He ran a few of their install meetings during two-a-days. He instituted a penalty system for for offsides during practices. He holds everyone on the team accountable. He's always at the facility. He's never asked for any special treatment. Each source has to be stopped when talking about this player because they go on and on and on and on and on. That's what he turned in at that time, I think, to the Baltimore Ravens or Eagles. I can't remember who
Eagles.
DJ. Eagles. That's what he turned into his GM that was his scouting report. What did you find? What did David Shaw tell you that you found most interesting about a player who was considered, you know, potentially a generational talent when he came out?
Yeah, how good was that DJ scouting report?
Pretty good.
Just reading off of his notes from 10 years ago.
It's not even about his arm slot or this. It's like, this is who you're getting, a face of the franchise guy.
And there's more. There's more in the podcast that he says about, you know, ripping into the team during halftime of the USD game and just stuff behind the scenes that you never hear. I'll go back to his first play as a quarterback at Stanford. His first game, he's a starter, he's a redshirt sophomore, and and he runs down the sideline, and most quarterbacks would just dip out of bounds. Luck instead drives his throwing shoulder into the safety for two extra yards, and he comes off the field after they score a touchdown, and Shaw's livid, right? This is their starting quarterback. You don't do that. And Andrew's like, I know, but I had to get one hit in. And this is a recurring theme throughout his football career. Like, this kid just loved the contact. And I don't know if it was because he was the son of an NFL quarterback or just this inherent thing in his mind, but, like, he had to hit people. And so he played like that. He played like a linebacker. And this is something that hurt him later in his NFL career. But the snippets from Stanford that we heard about, like, they would pull him out for run plays as a quarterback because they didn't want him to get hurt. And Andrew was pissed, like livid on the sideline. He was like, "Coach, like, I want to do that. Like, I should be doing that. Look at me. Like, I'm built like a linebacker. Like, this is why I play football." And they had to protect him from himself. And that was hard to do. And the Colts learned the same lesson in the NFL, but it was just fun. Like, him in the Heisman race with RG3. RG3 goes for 400 yards one day. And a lot of people turn to Andrew Luck and say, "Okay, what are you going to do? You know, how are you going to match that?" And instead of going for a crazy number of yards, he handed the ball off 40 times that night because that was the right play against the two high safety defense at Washington. They won 65-21, and he runs off the field, and Shaw says, "I'm so sorry. Like, I feel like I cost you the Heisman." And Luck's like, "Coach, I don't care. We played our best game. Like, that was my best game. Like, I got us in the right play every time." Like, this dude was just different. He was just different in a lot of ways, and it was fun to explore that.
Where was Zach Kiefer here at The Athletic on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 talking about Andrew Luck? I don't want to place blame, but how much did Ryan Grigson and the way he went about it, how much did that lead to Andrew getting out of the game?
Yeah, there's no way around it. There's just no way around it. Now, this isn't on one person. Like, I really believe that. Like, now, the Colts didn't build an offensive line until 2018. Until Chris Ballard got here, it changed things. Like, it was bad, man. Like, he was hit. God, he was pressured on over 1,000 dropbacks his first couple of years, his first, like, 4 years. Like, he was hit. He was sacked 40 more times than every quarterback. Like, these numbers are insane. And he's a big dude, but we would gasp in the press box. Like, it would just go silent because you just don't see quarterbacks take these kinds of hits. There was one game against the Broncos. The year the Broncos won the Super Bowl. So this defense is loaded, right? They got Tlaib. They got DeMarcus Ware. They got Von Miller at his peak. And the Colts beat them with Luck having a lacerated kidney the entire fourth quarter. His kidney is ripped open. This is an accident that usually happens after someone's in a car crash. Oh, this happened to him in a football game. But this is the other element to this. Andrew took a lot of these hits outside of the pocket. He refused to slide. The Colts had to bring in a baseball manager from the local AAA team to teach this dude how to slide. So let's not absolve Andrew Luck of blame. He played this courageous, brave, and often reckless style of football that cost him. And the fact that the Colts didn't have an offensive line is absolutely a part of this. Let's not get over that. Like, they just overlooked it, and they went for these shiny new toys in the draft, and it cost them. They needed to get this dude a running back, and they needed to get this dude some guards and some tackles and a center. And the shame of it is, man, like, the shame of it is, and you guys know this, Houston, like, 2018, Frank Reich's here. They've got a quick passing offense. They've got Nelson up front. Luck was only sacked 18 times. Like, it was the least in the league. Like, they finally had it all fixed. He had a great offense. He was getting the ball out quick. And we only got 1 year of it. Like, that's a shame of it because the Colts and the Texans played three times that year, the last of which came in the wild card round. And the Colts whooped them. And the Colts were coming. Like, I remember writing, the future of the AFC is Patrick Mahomes and Andrew Luck. And, boy, I don't look very smart right now.
No, but, you know, it's funny. I was at camp 17, 18, and 19 because I'm friends with Ballard. And, in 17, right, he told me, you know, it was a horrible roster, terrible. And
yeah.
I remember the conversation we had was, I'm like, well, what's going to happen with Andrew? He goes, he's not playing, Lance. I said, you're not going to play Andrew Luck? He goes, no, he's beat to hell, Lance. We're not going to play him. We got to get him right.
That's a pretty good Chris Bauer.
That's a pretty good Chris Bauer. He goes, Lance, it's about more than 2017. This is a process. And so he didn't play him in 2017 because he said he had really been beaten to hell. And then Ballard said, okay, we got to build the fronts. And so Braden Smith, he had Ryan Kelly, he added Quentin Nelson. He went about building the offensive line. And, you know, 18 was the year you were talking about. I'm in camp in 19, Zach. I'm in the office with Ballard in that little Fun City complex or whatever where they play all the softball games and everything, right. The youth sports.
Grand Park.
And all of a sudden I hear, Chris, can I talk to you for a second? And I turn, and it's Andrew Luck with that Andrew Luck voice he's got. And it turns out he told me, he goes, hey, Lance, I used to listen to you and John with my dad when I would drive to – when he was in high school, he listened to our show that we were doing back then. I'm like, oh, cool. So I leave, and then on the way back, I'm staying with Ballard. I said, how'd that guy? He goes, oh, he's just dealing with some stuff. He's some mental stuff. He's going to be okay. He said he's going to be okay. 5 days later, he shuts it down and quit. And I asked Ballard, did he quit that day? He said, no, he did not. He said, but he was dealing with some issues. And what's really ironic here is that you didn't take care, the other regime with Grigson didn't take care of a top-line quarterback. And by the way, big guys sometimes are the ones who have to be protected against themselves. We always worry about smaller quarterbacks. Look at Cam Newton got all beat to hell. Ben Roethlisberger beat to hell. Andrew Luck beat to hell. They're the ones who a lot of times you have to protect against themselves. But what's interesting is this is literally with Frank Reich, Ballard, Jonathan Taylor, and that offensive line, everything about the identity of the Colts is all Luck, which tells you how much he must not want to come back to football. I would think he would have been goaded into coming back just because of his competitive spirit. Because this is everything he'd ever want.
Yep.
And he didn't.
I met with him 2 months ago, and he's like a ghost in Indianapolis. Like, it's hard to explain. Like, the specter of Andrew Luck is still very prevalent here. Like, he lives close to the team facility. Like, first of all, he lives in Indianapolis. Like, isn't that a little odd? And I met with him, and it was off the record, so I can't share any quotes. But he never gave me the impression that he'd ever considered coming back. Like, I just don't think – I think he made his decision, and that was it. Like, that was it. But I did mention at one point, like, have you watched Jonathan Taylor? Like they would be best friends. Like, Jonathan Taylor is this kind of, like, nerdy dude who, like, loves astronomy and, like, oh, by the way, is a freak on the field. Like, so much of this is set up for, like, sustained success here. And Mike Sando, my colleague at The Athletic, was like, you know, do the Chiefs have their ring if Andrew Luck keeps playing? Like, how does that shape the AFC? But that's a what-if we'll play forever. But the roster is really well built if you have that quarterback in place. And they thought they did, but when he retires 15 days before the season opener, there's no plan. Like, they just had to scramble, and they've been scrambling in a way for 3 years.
Protect your quarterback.
Were you not – the first time I saw Andrew, I don't know how many months ago, he was on television, I was shocked. He's a shell of what he was, isn't he, how skinny he is?
Yeah, it's not as bad as it looked that night. Now, I definitely had the same reaction, but when I saw him, I was like, oh, you look, you know, not quite your playing weight, but closer. And then he was in Indy this week helping Robert Mathis with a football camp, and he looked – I mean, I don't want to say like his playing weight, but like pretty damn close. Like, Andrew's a guy that, like, and Jacoby Brissett says this in the podcast, like, he'd probably roll out of bed tomorrow and play quarterback in the NFL. I just feel like athletically he's just one of those gifted dudes. Now, he's not going to, but he's not as skinny as everyone thinks he is.
He's not. Okay. So he looked like he had lost a lot. Because I stood next to him a few times, and he's a big dude.
He's a linebacker.
He's a strong dude. That's in college, you talk about it. I remember him coming down the field and, you know, breaking out of the pocket and coming down the field, and he would just take people on instead of, and it's just like, what a bull. This is your quarterback. And just a shame that it had to end that way. But yeah, is he happy? Did you think he's happy, Zach?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. And I do. Like, I really do. I think, and David Shaw brings this up in the podcast, like, the idea of Andrew Luck coming back is more about us than it is him. Like, what he could be. Like, we all feel a little unfinished. And I'm throwing us in the media in that market. Like, if you take the reporter hat off, he was fun as hell to watch. Like, he was different. And the sense I got when I talked with him was peace, happiness, and, like, he's excited about what's coming next. You know, he's got a little girl at home, a 2-year-old, and they're going to have another. And He's really poured himself into that. He's got a lot of options. A lot of people are coming to him and pitching him ideas. And I saw a spark in his eye about what's coming next in his life. Remember, I mean, salutatorian at high school. He was an architecture major at Stanford. Like, this dude is stupid smart, like insanely smart. So he seems like at peace with the way football ended. As hard as it was, and it was hard. I think it was hard for him that first year to think about the rest of his life. He's only 30 years old, and one career is over. But I think he's happy. I do think he is, and I think we're going to see a little bit more of him in the next couple of years.
Zach Kiefer, the podcast, you can find it at The Athletic, and a nice little intro that he wrote as well. So if you're looking for Andrew Luck, you can find him at Zach Kiefer's
really
podcast.
Really nice job of lining up guests who are, you know, insightful, add insightful color, like Jacoby Brissett, who is in the quarterback room with them. So really good stuff there. Zach, he writes for The Athletic. He covers the Colts for The Athletic. By the way, before we let you go, feeling around, Kari Willis, starting safety, just retired yesterday. He's going to follow the word of the Lord, John. He is off, right? Zach, am I wrong? I think he's going off into preach the gospel and do stuff like that. He's done with football after 3 years.
Yeah, it's happened, I want to say late June. But yeah, it was a surprise for sure. Good dude, like really good dude. And I mean, he started, 30, 40 games for the Colts the last couple of years. It's a loss, but it's almost like Ballard knew because he's been loading up at safety. He drafted one out of Maryland. He signed a couple of vets. So it's not a terrible position to be in for a late summer retirement. The Colts have some reinforcements at safety. Julian Black is coming back. But he started a lot of games, and he was a good player. So, yeah, he's gonna devote himself to ministry. He feels like it's his life's work. So good for Kari. It's good for him, and it's just surprising, and we'll see what the Colts do.
Yep. Hard to criticize him for the route he's taken. So that's really, really, really neat. Really neat. It's guys giving up football for something that they believe in more. That's he and Andrew Luck. That is Zach Kiefer from The Athletic right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Zach, thanks for your time. We appreciate it. Congratulations on the success of the podcast.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. There's Zach Kiefer right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm talking about Jeff Aronoff right now, an absolute marvel. And granted, I'm talking about you getting your whatever it is, your bathroom, your living room, your kitchen, your outdoor patio, your outdoor kitchen, whatever it is that you need, Jeff Aronoff can fix it. Jeff Aronoff can make it better. Jeff Aronoff can make it, redo the whole thing. Maybe it is time for you to redo your entire kitchen, all the cabinets, the flooring, the countertops, everything. I mean, it's got to go. I mean, how long have you had it? Is it gross? Is it something that really needs you to address? You haven't addressed it. Time to address it. Time to get Jeff Aronoff at your house. Time to get Jeff Aronoff fixing whatever it is. Time to make your business or your home more valuable. Time to make it more livable. If it's gross, come on, clean it up. Let's go. And especially with the bathrooms. Bathrooms, kitchens, outdoor patio, whatever the case may be, you got Jeff Aronoff here for you. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. You need to redo. Jeff Aronoff is here for you. 713-880-2822.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 821 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Listen, what is wrong with you people? Unvaccinated people can't come into the U.S. either. Really? Because there's 10 unvaccinated Royals that are playing in Kansas City. What are you talking about? They can't come into the country.
No, but they can't. That's why Djokovic can't come in. If you're unvaccinated, you can't come in here.
Well, he can get through. I heard he could get through the Mexican border here. As everybody is.
That may be the truth, but yeah. You're actually arguing for something that the U.S. also has in place, so I don't see that. I don't see anything coming from that.
Well, that's just because...
You're just screwed now if you're the Royals.
Just because New York. It's not like you can't come into our country and do anything. It's because of New York. You know what? move the U.S.
No,
Open
no, no,
from
it's
New
a
York.
U.S. It's a U.S. thing. It's not a New York thing.
Oh, really? Because we have billions of people crossing over the border every day that
well,
are
unvaccinated. Well, you can try to smuggle Djokovic over the border. I'm thinking people are going to know something's up. He's fairly recognizable with that forehand.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you see that forehand?
Yeah, I saw that forehand.
No.
Okay.
That's how you know it's him.
Unvaccinated people can't come here. There's 10 unvaccinated Royals playing right now. What do you mean they can't come here? Oh, you mean come across the
Why
border?
Why are your favorite teams the Royals and Mariners? I don't get this.
I like them.
I'm sorry. It's 8:23. Can we now discuss? Is it okay now to discuss the new braids that Fromber has?
Oh.
Are we allowed to discuss this now at 8:23? In case you didn't watch the game at all. Now, this came out now 3 days ago. Julian Morales had a video. People on Astros Twitter are like, how do you not know that Fromber has braids? Julian Morales posted a video 2 days ago. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't even know if I follow Julian Morales.
You don't follow Julian Morales? I probably do,
but I don't just check my timeline all the time. I usually check mentions if people ask me questions or have comments or whatever.
Okay.
And there's a video of Fromber. He basically
I'm a little
got this,
disappointed. Fromber's new hairstyle doesn't come up until seven down on the stuff.
Fromber Valdez went from regular Fromber, who had regular hair, a little bit higher fade. He had kind of a little bit of a high top fade, just a little bit. And he started to, like, get it braided out, and he added extensions for the All-Star game. He has new, quote-unquote, new pelo for the All-Star game. He got new hair. He had extensions added to his hair so he could flex at the All-Star game. This is literally a Fromber. He told Julian Morales he was out shopping all day getting new outfits for the All-Star game. Like, this is huge for Fromber. He got new outfits. He got new hair. And I know this sounds like a Real Housewives episode, but it's actually one of our best starting pitchers who has 16 quality starts for the season out of 18 starts and 15 consecutive and throws a wicked curveball. But Fromber Valdez legitimately had extensions put into his hair, probably the first starter in Major League history to do that for an All-Star game.
Maybe for an All-Star game.
Because I tune in, I got the game paused. As soon as I unpause it, and I'm probably an hour and a half behind, an hour behind the game, I hit play and I'm like, how does Fromber have Luis Garcia locks? How did this happen? It has to be fake. Sure enough, he had the braids put in his hair. It is. We may have to stop this.
What?
We may have to stop this.
You have a problem with it?
No, my problem is I'm superstitious. And if this is going to bother his output at all, if these braids are going to mess him up at all, they got to go. You want to wear them for the All-Star game?
Are you blaming
game?
Those for the walks? Is that what you're blaming? Is that what you're doing?
Okay, Did someone actually sent us this actual tweet, and they were serious, that after Dallas Keuchel got a sleeve tattoo on his arm, they felt like it was threw his arm off, like it threw it out of balance. Maybe it was a different field, maybe just enough to be a little bit heavier. And I'm like, "This, you're not being serious, right?" He goes, "Well, I mean, just saying, he's not the same pitcher since he got that sleeve tattoo." And I realized, okay, this person's being real. Is there a chance that Fromber's hair... Does his hair usually touch his neck at all when he's pitching?
Okay. No. I mean, this is the first.
Did it yesterday?
Yes.
That could be off-putting to him. Even if he doesn't realize it subconsciously, it could be something that's bothering him.
So, but is this going to be a story at the All-Star game? Fromber's
hair? I mean, it should be.
And he admitted that he did this for the All-Star game.
I'm just going to say it. This is cheesy. Like, Fromber literally admitted publicly that he got braids put in for an All-Star game, and then he went shopping for new outfits. That's fine. I still rock with the gancho, el gancho, the hook. But let's just be real here. Fromber just got braids put in. That's a weird thing for a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball.
He's a hair guy now.
Yeah.
I always look at
you
football players.
You can't say anything about it.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you're a Linville guy. Can't say anything about Fromber adding hair.
No, no. Did he go to Doc Linville? I don't know.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. So, I mean, I'm against what he did.
He added hair to himself.
Well, he...
How are you against
that? Well, no. But he got extensions.
Are you for plus
That's
hair or minus hair?
That's way different than neo-grafting.
Neo-grafting is natural. Can you neo-graft to the back of your hair and make it longer?
No,
To existing strands?
No, so you shouldn't do that.
Fromberg.
No, you shouldn't do that. That's why you shouldn't.
You shouldn't get extensions.
You should not get extensions.
Sometime when I'm at NFL Network,
it's unnatural.
I'm not going to say who. It's unnatural.
Right.
When I go to NFL Network, it is kind of. It's not bad or anything. It's just like when I see the girls go into the makeup chair to start, and then the hair, because they have hair people there too. When you see their hair pre and then post, the luxurious longer hair, like the extensions, because they all have extensions, a lot of them that they put in their hair, like a lot of them. And it looks good there. I didn't like it with Fromber.
No.
We've got Luis Garcia. That's his look. Don't bite his look for the All-Star game.
Well, maybe.
You're really jerking around with, you want to know somebody who's not superstitious? Fromber. Anybody who is sitting there with the season he's having that's going to make that kind of change to get extensions added into his hair? Like that, he clearly is not superstitious at all.
No.
That's a big life change for him. That look is totally different.
You'd usually do that in the offseason and come back.
Yeah.
Not in the middle of an All-Star season.
And he doesn't care that you know their extensions. Like, oh, yeah, I went shopping for new outfits and got some extensions. Do you like my new pelo for the All-Star game, Julia? She's like,
get this one.
Muy guapo.
I don't get this one. Fromber hair, Dallas arm sleeve, and JG advice on second marriages. I don't understand that one.
I don't know what that one's supposed to mean either.
Hey, Johnny G's new hair added and has been killing it every morning. Calm down, Lance. Yeah, I agree. I didn't get new hair added. I just moved my own hair. I didn't get new hair added. That's the difference. That's a huge difference. Okay? Fromber got new hair added. He's got somebody. It's weighing him down now. I don't know. I'm not down with what Fromber did. I just changed.
Hey, Johnny.
Moved it. I just moved my hair.
Johnny G got new hair, and he's been killing it every morning. Calm down, Lance. That's right. What you said. Yeah. Okay, well, you know what? I don't think he's been killing it. He almost got us both fired the other day when he tried to get Gilbert to tell a joke again.
I still don't know the punchline.
Doesn't really matter.
Aggie walks into an abortion clinic.
Immediately,
what is the punchline?
I don't care. It's Gilbert, and I don't care. Because you know it's something that Gilbert shouldn't be saying.
I forget what it is. 7:30. I need Gilbert to call in and remind me what the punchline is. 7:30, 7:80.
John Boy probably. Look, I bet Fromber got braids to hide the buzzers. Cheaters. John Boy probably at All-Star Commentary.
All right. 7:30, 7:80, 3776. Lazy J, you'll be first up. Anybody else wants in? 7:30, 7:80, 3776 is the number to call. Right now, I'm talking about GiveMeTheVin.com. I was hearing John Clay Wolf, and he put out a tweet. 2012, $4,000. I'll take it. 2022, $18,000 for the same car. Okay, I'll take it. I mean, it's just ridiculous how much more you're getting. And John Clay Wolf has just did a spot, is a recorded spot, as a matter of fact. He said the prices are still out there. They're still ridiculous. So if you're looking to sell your car, he's going to give you more than you're going to get. And now is still a good time to sell your car because you are going to get a maximum dollars for it. It is going to happen for you. If you're looking for a great way to get more for your vehicle, John Clay Wolf is here for you. You just got to go to GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. John Clay Wolf is awesome at what he does. People, he's going to give you more for your vehicle. That's what he do. It's simple to do, too. The website is easy to navigate. You just go in there, you put in your license plate or your VIN number, and you got yourself a deal. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVin.com. When you're looking to sell your car, GiveMeTheVin.com.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN
97.5.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Josh Christopher, no longer with us. Well, he's no longer with the team, with the summer league team. Yeah, he's injured.
Yeah,
he's got a hip injury. Maybe because he was shooting too much, he hurt his hip. Josh, give somebody else the ball. Let somebody else take a shot. Holy crap! 7:30, 7:80, 3776 Lazy J wants to get in. What up, Lazy J?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Yeah, I want to talk about Fromber. Man, that is not extensions. That's the glue-on hair pieces. I had extensions when I was like 16, like 20 some years ago, when I went to the African braiding place in Sharptown because they said that my hair wasn't too long, so they had to add extensions. And my mom took me, so she was Mexican, so they're like, "Oh yeah, we're gonna get her ass." So man, that's not extensions, man. That's a hairpiece, like Trump has.
You think it's a hairpiece? He said it was extensions. You think somebody got him? First of all,
extensions.
I don't think he went to Sharp.
Lacey J, not what? What was your what did you say?
What is wrong with
you? They try to get his mom because she was Mexican. So he thinks he got tricked, and it's actually a hairpiece. Bro, Lazy J.
it's extensions for Fromber. Okay, it's extensions. He's not a. It's not a wig. It's not Trump's wig. Okay. What is wrong with people? 713-780. Do you have a call like that? Please give us a
complete. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I kind of like those calls.
Yeah, those are the best calls.
Those are the best calls. By the way, your Houston Rockets yesterday, they were doing pretty well against the
Blazers,
and then they stopped doing well.
Yeah.
And so they 85-77. At one point, they had a 12-point lead. I stopped watching it. But guess who had 19 and 10? Jabari Smith.
Team best 19 and 10. He had a block as well. Tyree Eason had 17. No, they were without their leading scorer, Josh Christopher.
And leading shooter. Bro, nobody wants that summer league shot more than Josh Christopher. Like, he's always clapping for the ball. Ball, ball. Yo. Come on. Josh, we know if it goes to you, it's not coming out.
No.
It's just not coming out.
Christopher black hole.
I just don't want to do this. By the way, thanks, ESPN. By the way, Tari Eason has a chance, and God, this is so dangerous to say stuff like this during summer league. But I feel pretty confident though, because of the way he plays, because of his size, everything about him. Tari Eason's got a chance to be like Şengün. In 3 years, we're going to say Tari Eason was one of the steals of this draft.
Yeah.
I think we're going to say that. And if Şengün and Tari Eason both become steals, Jalen Green becomes who he can be, and Jabari Smith is just a really good glue guy that defends and does a lot of this, I'm telling you right now, no matter what your thoughts were about Daryl Morey, no matter what your thoughts were initially about the James Harden trade, because a lot of people didn't like the Harden trade. A lot of people initially thought you didn't get enough for Harden. You just got a bunch of draft picks from a good team. Who cares? Rafael Stone could end up coming out of this looking like, I mean, this could be an unbelievable rebuild into a new Rockets, right? Hmm. With Jalen Green, Şengün, Tari Eason, you know, maybe Josh Christopher, of course, Jabari Smith. When you look at what he's doing, let's see what he does with KPJ. My son, Mason, who is a monster Rockets and really just basketball fan, he asked me a minimum of, I'd say, 7 questions, or he'll tell me 7 basketball-related news items a day. Minimum. During our show, I'll get texted stuff. He said, "Dad, why won't they give an extension to KPJ?" And I said, well, and I gave it to him raw here now. I said, look, I said, KPJ is a guy who kind of quit on a team at one point last year where he was asked to come into a game, and he wouldn't come into a game. I said, that's a strike.
No, he left at halftime.
Yeah.
Christian Wood.
Yeah, he left at halftime. He threw a bottle in the direction of a coach.
Christian Wood was the one who wouldn't go in the game.
You have to find out, does he love basketball? Is he coachable, which is a big one right now because he's already on a second team. And I said, you know, and is he a guy who wants to do what it takes to win at the highest level? I said, you have to, Mason, when you're trying to build – a team to win a championship, you're asking these questions about everybody who plays. And right now, I'd say with KPJ from his first stop to a second stop, I think those are still very valid questions. I think they're very valid questions. Does KPJ care enough about it to make basketball's focus? Will he do what it takes to be a good teammate and help the Rockets win at a high level, which I don't think that has been proven yet. And part of that is defense. Part of it is sharing the ball at different times. Part of it is trusting teammates. And part of it is just the way that, you know, how coachable you are. And then lastly, I think, is the coachability. And I said, Mason, I don't know that the Rockets feel comfortable with that's who he is. And I don't know that they're comfortable with – I told him, this is my belief. I'm going to make a prediction. I believe that at some point this year, Kevin Porter Jr. is not going to like the fact that this is Jalen Green's team and that Jalen Green is scoring a bunch of points. And I think the competitive nature of because I do think there's competitive nature, but I don't know if it's always channeled in the right way. You know, some of it is, I want the shot. I want to be the star. I don't know that Kevin Porter Jr. is going to love the fact that on a totem pole, he's now below the rookie, the former rookie, the guy who was drafted a year after him, or actually 2 years, 3 years after him, Jalen Green. I don't know that that's going to sit great. I don't know that it's going to sit great that Jabari, like Kevin Porter Jr. is going to have to be okay with being one of the team who's looking to play at a high level. He's got to learn to defend. He's got to, most importantly, he's got to be okay with just being one of five on the court.
Or a facilitator.
And a facilitator. To, yeah. And he's never proven he can be a full-time facilitator. So I wouldn't get too, like personally, I wouldn't get too excited about latching onto him long-term. I definitely don't think I'd give him an extension. If I'm trying to build a championship team, man, I want to go find some dudes that I think want to be in there together, and winning a championship is what consumes them. And that's not always easy to find, but I just think if you start adding up the pieces, KPJ is expendable to me. And he's got enough talent where you can go find something for him. Like, I think somebody would trade for him. He'd be on his third team, though. Third team in 5 years, third team in 6 years.
It's a tough call. Give him another year. Let's see how he plays. Let's see how they play together. Yeah. Let's see if he can adjust. I'd say give him, you know.
Give him early extensions.
No. Let's get Ryan in here before we take a break. Hey, Ryan.
What's going on? What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Brian?
So I've been watching the open here, pretty closely, and I wanted to get Johnny G's opinion on the over and under on Spence O'Houlihan's chances on winning on Sunday. Let me know, brother.
Spence O'Houlihan's chances on winning on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know who that is.
You ever heard of that guy?
No.
You never. Said you wanted a phone call on golf.
I did get one. A phone call on golf.
But did you?
Not
though?
Really. Yeah.
But did you get a call on
I
golf?
Really didn't. I really didn't.
Somebody Houlihan?
Spence O'Houlihan?
What? Is there a Houlihan golfer?
No, I don't know. Maybe there is. Maybe
they're not on the leaderboard.
My answer would be I
have no chance.
I don't think he has much of a chance.
By the way, do you like this? They're showing a lot of this. What channel is this on? Oh, it's USA.
Yeah.
But they've got the technology. Period in golf to the ball tracking technology.
That's my favorite thing.
I love it. I love it. I love baseball has what's called Hawkeye. Hawkeye is what can. Is Hawkeye baseball? Yeah, I think Hawkeye is baseball where they can find spin rates and things like that. They can measure the elevation of a hit, how far it's going to go, all that. You have in Hawkeye does that. Hawkeye does some of the field goal stuff. When you're kicking a field goal, this would be good. Like NBC used it. This would be good from 64 yards, which actually I think is a really cool feature. I think I remember hockey fans hated puck tracking.
Yeah,
when Fox Sports brought it on. I think golf ball tracking off the tee is great.
It's awesome.
I think it's awesome.
It's my that is, I think if I want it on every shot.
I want it when I play so I don't lose golf balls.
Right. No, that would be awesome.
I want there to be like a trail of blue smoke. Just goes, and it shoots out into the right, into the trees.
Right. And you can see it. Yeah. That's awesome.
And I want to be able to hit find my golf ball instead of find my phone. Have you ever used that on your phone? Find my.
No.
Like somebody's phone. You never use that?
No.
And it'll start, like you can play a noise. Beep, beep, beep. Your phone will start. Making noise.
Be nice if your golf ball had that.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. I don't see a Spence O'Houlihan anywhere on the leaderboard.
Somebody conned you. Somebody ball-sacked you into looking that
up. There's a Thurston Lawrence, who I'd never heard of. There's a Minwoo Lee.
You just got sacked.
Yeah, I just did get sacked. Lucas Herbert, who is playing with Phil Mickelson.
Now I feel like I'm Dr. Who's that doctor?
There's a Filippo Chilli.
Who's the doctor from Progressive? We don't need to read golfers, okay?
It says here in the Chronicle, Filippo Chilli.
Nobody cares.
Filippo Chilli is three
Nobody
under.
Cares about you reading the list of golfers, okay? Boom, boom, boom. Progressive. Dr. Rick. That's his name.
It's 845 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I want to talk right now. Instead of. I don't know that I want to talk about Cinto Houlihan. I want to talk about Patrick Chastain. Patrick Chastain is my man. Joe Chastain. The Chastains have been doing it in this city for over 80 years. The Chastains do it right. The Chastains want to make sure that you join the Chastain family. Now, your last name doesn't have to be Chastain to get the best deal, but you're going to feel like you're in the family. You're going to feel like you're getting a brother-in-law deal. Your brother-in-law deals are the best deals, and those are the ones that the Chastains give every single time. There are dealerships that are actually on top of the MSRP. They are actually adding $5,000 and $10,000 because vehicles are so hard to get, because you have to wait, because you have to order it, because they're not on the lot. So they're actually adding $5,000 or $10,000 on to the price. That is ridiculous. Chastain Ford, never. They're not doing it. Not only are they not doing that, they won't add any add-ons either. So if you don't want a bed liner, you don't get a bed liner. You don't want leather seats, you don't get leather seats. And it's just so, so good to be doing business with somebody like that, okay, every single time. And, oh, by the way, all the rebates that are out there, the other dealerships aren't using, Chastain Ford is using those rebates so that you get the best car you can at the best price. It's happening every single day. Online at ChastainFord.com or at the dealership. Go in and do it yourself. Do it with those great people over at Chastain Ford. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm ecstatic. You know, we asked Jalen to do what I think is like the hardest thing to do in the NBA. We, like, very intentionally, we threw him in the deep end. We didn't hide him offensively or defensively. We put him in a position where he had to make plays for his teammates right away. And he had to be kind of a primary scorer right away, which is just extraordinarily hard. And we did that with the hope and the belief that it would accelerate his learning curve. And so the second half of the season, We saw the exact player we were hoping we were drafting, and you know his work ethic is just awesome. I've only been around one other player in the NBA who works as hard as he does, and so we just couldn't possibly be more excited about
who was that guy.
It actually was James. James Harden. James Harden the time he was with Houston.
Raphael Stone on NBA Sirius XM Radio was with Justin Tremaine and Timothy Legler. Tim Legler, you hear on ESPN. I mean,
you knew he was.
Is that a good or bad thing for him to say that the last guy that he's seen work that hard was?
But James was hard. Now, James was a player, and maybe that's why James was wearing out.
Yeah, maybe
James worked hard. I mean, you saw after games.
No.
James was working out, doing push-ups. Well, I mean, he loved to have the camera watching him do it. After he had a great playoff game, he's in there working and all, doing all the stuff. James was a hard worker. I mean, you can't take that away from him.
Well, Rafael Stone's been with the team for a long time, so Rafael would know much better than me. James has the party boy. You can be both a party boy and a hard worker.
Yes.
I think James's party boy stuff cancels out some of the work, maybe sometimes makes it harder to stay in the type of shape he needs to be in. But yeah, I think you don't get to that level of excellence as a scorer without working on your game. There's no way. So, okay, that's fair. I don't think it's a problem, RJ, to your question of comparing him to James. I mean, James is going to be a Hall of Famer. So I don't really have a problem with that. Now,
Jalen hopes he has James' career.
Now, what I don't want to hear is that, no, man, he's exactly like James, man. He works hard and goes out and parties even harder.
No.
Like, I don't want to hear that.
No,
quote.
Nobody does that.
But,
a bar nobody's kept. Nobody
that's nice can. To hear that Jalen's putting in that kind of work, though, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that was Rafael Stone talking about Jalen Green. Yes.
He needs to hit those push-ups, by the way.
That was funny. How
Jalen's going to have to hit some curls and some push-ups. Do not skip chest day, Jalen.
No.
You're going to have to stop skipping arm days and chest days and leg days.
James is barrel-shaped, you know?
Yeah, Jalen's
got a different body.
James the thick guy, but Jalen does need to add some weight. Like, he needs to add muscle mass. He's still a young guy. But he is a penetrator, and the one way you can get your ass knocked around in the league is getting into the paint, getting knocked down, and all of a sudden you're dealing with, you know, Jalen's out for a couple games. He recovers from a lower back contusion. He's going to have to get bigger and stronger. He's never going to be a big, thick guy. But, you know, I don't think saying 15 pounds of muscle is not outrageous to say that Jalen Green can add that over the next couple years. He's young. He's still growing into his body.
Yeah, no, I think if you – listen, as young as his team is, everybody on this team, name a guy that can't put weight
but
on.
But don't skip chest day.
No, don't skip arms day. You know, Kevin Durant has skipped arms day his whole life.
Also squats. Like, now that I think about it, don't skip leg, arm, chest, or back days.
No, all of them.
Yeah, just don't. Just lift.
It's funny to hear Rafael Stone, though, talking about, we just threw him in there, man. Hey, oh, here you go. Go play with those guys and see how it works out for you. And we were going to throw everything at him. And sure enough, I mean, Jalen, he struggled at first, and who wouldn't have? And then, and now he's and at the end of the season, he turned into the guy that we thought he was going to be. And that's really, really hopeful going forward here, because dude can play. Dude can play, and you found somebody. You found somebody that is actually that you can build around. He is exactly what you had hoped for. What did you think of the DeAndre Ayton situation yesterday? The Pacers offered him the max. He accepted, and then the Suns matched the offer.
I think two things. Number one, you're playing with fire because you create some hard feelings by not extending DeAndre Ayton. First of all, the Suns said they were always going to sign him. They were just going to match whatever offer came out there. So they were letting the market set the market, and they were going to match it, and so they were never going to lose Ayton. Okay, that sounds good in theory, but along the way, you might have created some hard feelings with DeAndre Ayton when you made him go through the process. Maybe not. Maybe not. But what they said is, we were always going to match whatever came out there, but we wanted the market to set the market. In other words, they weren't really sure. I think they weren't, number one, they didn't want to offer the full max, but number two, that they would have had to offer. But number two, I think they just weren't sure what his value was on the open. Like, a buddy of mine, Rodney Williams, and I said, okay. He goes, max dollar, right? He said, you get two max dollar guys on a roster. He said, anytime, and this is a really good point, if you're going to sign a guy to a max dollar deal, that's one of your slots is gone. You better be sure he's as close to being an elite talent as possible. We know Devin Booker's a max guy, so now you got your two max guys. I mean, Chris Paul is right now, and they have to work on the numbers, but Chris will be gone soon enough. Those are your two big max guys now. It's like playing NBA Jam. You only get two guys. Okay, well, who are the Rockets? Rockets don't have a max guy. Well, John Wall, but John Wall's dead cap. But the Rockets' max money at some point is going to be Jalen Green is going to be a max guy. Who's the other max guy going to be?
Hopefully Jabari.
Yeah. Yeah. Shingun or Jabari, yeah. Truth be told, I'd rather have a... If you could have one of the two turn into a dude, who would you rather it be? A wing player or a big man? I'd probably say big man. If I had one of two guys that I could... Jabari Smith and
I got to see a lot more. Speaking Shingun, of lifting, don't miss arm day, Alperin. I mean, I got to see a lot more weight on
kinda,
that dude.
He's kind of thick, though. Yao Ming, people said that about Yao Ming. Yao Ming was big in the lower body. Shingun is big in the lower body.
That's why I said arm day.
Yeah, I think he's – I don't think he – I think he'll be fine. I think he's going to be a 255, 260-pound player.
All right, when we come back, Randy Wilkins is going to join us. He is the director – of The Captain on ESPN, the Derek Jeter documentary, 6-part documentary. And we will talk to him about that next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, patios.
Texas Custom Patios allows you to, Simple Seats is what I'm talking about. Simple Seats allows you to get to an Astros game. For example, are you going to be set up to go to the Yankee series when they come in town? Well, this is the time to go get your tickets from Simple Seats. You can go to simpleseats.com, and anytime you get tickets, that dreaded checkout process that you guys hate with those other ticket companies, because then you find out what you're really going to pay. And when you find out you're paying like 25% additional, or that 25% of your total cost is fees, transactions fees, convenience fees, transfer fees, paperless fees, they get you on everything. It's the most I get so pissed when that happens. At Simple Seats, I am as calm as I could be, because I know that when I see a price, that's exactly what that ticket's going to cost, plus the tax. That's it. So if I'm getting 6 seats for me and my kids, hey, that's going to be a lot of money when you add up six. But when I don't have to pay any kind of fees, any kind of ridiculous fees, that is a monster savings, and that's what Simple Seats will do for you. Use promo code Lance10, and you are going to get $10 off of your order of $50 or more. That's promo code Lance10. Go to SimpleSeats.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.